you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Everyone.
Hi, guys.
Wow. You know, I have to say, I can't stop thinking about CrimeCon.
I know.
And if you haven't already, go check out our Another Shot from Thursday, because we break it down from all the fans and all the fun to, frankly, not all the great stuff that happened.
We break it down by saying, let's not talk about any of the negatives to talking about negatives for 15 minutes
yeah.
And then getting to all the positive.
You know what? That's what we do here on the show. And if you don't like it, unsubscribe.
That's right. I kvetch and I really don't mind it, but it was so fun. It was humid as hell. Mm-hmm. I wore all black for Pride. Mm-hmm. I feel very appropriate.
Love it. But this, we're getting into a brand new episode now. And Gina, the staff of Boozer, is back in action this week. Gina, welcome back to the show.
Lots of orangey drinks. Did you have fun in New Orleans?
Oh, yeah. Gina was there.
I did.
Yeah.
I did have fun.
You were super busy, too. I was telling Gina before, like, we got back Monday.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel like I didn't even really see you that much, but that was because you were, like, in your room writing everything, right?
Now she's cradling a bottle of whatever we're drinking today. You could tell she needs it.
She's
got
like,
a
it's
death
been a long...
grip on this.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's like, no. What are we drinking today?
What are we drinking?
So we are drinking an Australian whiskey that is new to the United States, and they were kind enough to send us over a complimentary bottle to give a try to.
Oh. Nice.
Oh, Aussie, I love it.
It's called Starward. I'm really mumbled that.
Oh my god, I was going to say, John's
this.
Like ears perked up with Star Wars.
Wars. I'm actually not a big Star Wars fan.
What?
I know, isn't that weird? I've seen them, but don't love them.
You're an enigma wrapped
in cash. It's weird. I know, thank you.
and it is aged in red wine barrels. So you guys are drinking a whiskey and tonic, which is unusual. Normally it'd be like a gin and tonic or a vodka tonic. But because this is aged in red wine, it kind of works all together and is like a very summery take on a way to drink whiskey. And it's got a big old hunk of orange in there. Yeah. I originally asked Matt to make just a peel garnish, and he did, and then I changed my mind and hacked up the orange.
Well, thank you, because we all know what happened.
I know. Gina was like, how much orange do you guys want? It looks really refreshing. I'm very excited to start. Thank you, Starward. Is that what it's called? The bottle looks really cool, too. It's got, like, stars and...
Oh, yeah.
Starward. Nice.
Starward. Nova.
Let's cheers for a second.
Let's cheers. And I'm actually excited that there's some whiskey related to this week's episode. I'm a little under the weather, as you might have heard from my voice.
It's from Melbourne. I couldn't tell at all.
Oh, really? No?
Yeah, no.
All right. I won't draw attention to it then.
But it's 41% alcohol by volume.
Oh, boy. So let's see how this episode goes.
Gina, are you going to drink with us?
Cheers.
Okay. She's drinking.
Cheers.
Yeah, she's fine.
Beaches.
Cheers, bitch. Cheers, bitch. Cheers, bitch. Cheers, bitch.
Beaches.
Let's try it.
Thank you. Wow, that was a big drink.
Well,
or maybe
thirsty.
It just sounded big. How was it?
Good. Really refreshing. Mm. I can't even taste the tonic, and I don't like tonic.
That. Yeah.
So that was good for me. I taste actually most just whiskey and orange.
Yeah, whiskey and orange, yeah.
But it's lighter than like a... It's not like as fruity as like an old fashioned might
be. Right, right.
It's refreshing.
I like it.
Gina,
thanks, Gina.
Thanks so much, Starward.
Have a great rest of your day, Gina.
Get drunk,
thanks,
Gina.
Guys.
We're going on 10 straight days here at Oxygen, and Gina and I are ready to drink our whiskey. I'm off to London, by the way, but when this episode comes out, I'll be in London. Yeah.
I hate you.
Well,
you're
I'll be
tomorrow.
Technically tomorrow.
Tonight?
He's already in London when you guys will hear this episode.
Yes. I have left Matt Thursdays. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're in London and you're listening to this episode, hit me up, because I know that there were some fans that were maybe gonna wanted to meet up, but there was like literally two or three, and I just wasn't sure if they were that interested. So hit me up at Jay Thrasher and let me know if you're interested.
Do it.
All right.
I'm gonna hit you up anyway because I'm interested.
Please do
baby.
That. You do that pretty often anyway. You're always like, hey, what's up?
I'm sliding into your DMs.
Yeah, sliding into
like,
my
that's
DMs.
That's how it works. Man.
All right. Well, let's get into this week's episode. Yeah. It's been a minute since we've recorded a new episode, so I'm excited about
me
this
too.
One. So let's talk about Sabrina San Milan. Sabrina grew up in Southern California in the desert near Barstow. Mm-hmm. She was very outgoing, bubbly, and always wanted to have a good time. The Toronto Sun wrote that she, quote, had the hair, the sparkling white teeth, and a sex drive to beat the band, end quote.
Okay.
Oh, okay. When she was 18, she found the eyes of a handsome 21-year-old named Rob Limon.
Limon. There's no accent.
I love a good limon, but not a good orange. Anyway, they met at a barbecue.
Oh, cute.
Oh, Matt's showing
they're
us a
cute.
Picture. Very cute, yeah.
Yeah, they're cute. I don't like his facial hair, but they're cute.
It's fine.
It's fine.
What about my facial hair?
I like yours.
Oh, thank you. They met at a barbecue and he had a bit of a different look than Sabrina. Rob's sister told Killer Couples, quote, when she brought Robert home, her parents were like, oh boy, because you know he had a shaved head and a tattoo on the back of his head.
That's right.
Not a typical place for tattoos, I think.
I tend to avoid facial tattoos.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
Feels like
from
very,
the neck up, it's a bit much.
It feels like a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing against anyone, though. It's just, you
no, just
never
know.
No,
just for me, it would be a lot. I love tattoos, though.
Yeah, that's true. Do you have any? I'm just remembering.
Don't.
Okay, no.
I don't
either. Matt,
I don't
do
like
you
anything
have any
permanent.
Tattoos?
Nope.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I would have expected one of us to have
I
one.
I know, but Matt, I would expect to have one on his
Megan
ass.
Megan has one. Sorry, Megan.
Yeah, Matt. Megan,
I know Megan does.
Megan's
that's
dark
why I
and fucking
jumped.
Scary. I would expect that Matt would have one, like...
Hidden.
Left ass cheek when he was in college, falling asleep in the weeds.
Like that someone else gave to
that
him.
That he got in prison overnight one night, like for sure.
Listen, just give it time. It's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
I think I might get one.
Yeah, now he's like, let's go get one.
God damn
maybe
it.
Maybe we do a all fundraiser.
Why don't you get Martinis and Murder but get the wrong color and be like, oh, it's an exclusive. Listen to our another shot and you will know what I'm talking about.
That's actually hilarious. But anyway, but under the intimidating look, Rob seemed to be an understanding, compassionate person. Less than 2 years later, Rob asked her to marry him and they tied the knot in 2000. So that's the time frame we're working with here.
Yeah, quick.
Yeah.
Quick time frame.
Yeah. Through Sabrina's family, Rob was able to get work on the railroad and the steady income allowed them to have a family. So over the next 3 years, Sabrina had a boy and a girl and they moved into a close-knit community called Silver Lakes. Matt, are you familiar with any of these California areas? I'm just not.
I know Silver Lake, but
that's, yeah,
that's different.
That must be different.
It's different.
Like Silver Lake, LA.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Barstow is, I think, not that far from LA, but it's
but it's different.
Got it.
Yeah. But it's I don't know.
Silver Lake is cool.
45 minutes away from LA or something like that.
I see.
Yeah, right.
Okay. The kids in the community all play together, and a lot of the couples party together. A local sheriff told Killer Couples, quote, they and some of their friends enjoyed partying, and sometimes those parties would get pretty wild, end quote. Listen, I get it. If you have a bunch of noisy kids, you're going to want to have a good time. You know what I mean?
I always talk about, like, I think the perfect parenting approach for me would be like living on a commune with like my four best friends and we just all raise the kids together.
Me too. I'm so into that.
If I could only be a parent like 25 to 30% of the time, great.
Great.
Then someone can pinch hit for me the other 75% of the time.
Listen, let's do some kind of deal later on in life.
Yeah, right.
You, me.
Talk about sponsor us.
I know, poor Tersh.
Tersh fine.
People were asking a lot about Tersh, by the way, at CrimeCon.
Well, then I got confused because I thought they were talking about Andy's baby.
I know,
like, oh, you're talking about my fictitious baby? Oh, I didn't even realize.
Wait, literally, you would go on like, oh my God, isn't he so cute? I love being it. And then they were like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm talking about Tersh.
And I was like, oh, Tersh is disgusting.
That's true. That is hilarious.
It was really funny.
I forgot that happened.
I'm an idiot.
No, you're not. You're fine. The partying carried on until Sabrina was getting into her mid-30s and she began to become concerned about the example she was setting for her kids. She had made
she
some,
was getting tired because she's in her mid fucking 30s,
well, listen,
which is where we are.
Yeah.
Right.
She had made some bad decisions in her youth and never finished high school, and Sabrina wanted to make sure her kids didn't follow that path. So she turned to religion to build some structure in their lives, and they began going to church. As the kids got older, Sabrina even got herself back into the workforce as a sample girl at a big store. At that store, she met 23-year-old Jonathan Hearn.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan was a smart young guy from a nearby town who was an aspiring fireman. The two didn't have much in common, but and he was 10 years younger and focused on a different life, except for one thing, their faith.
Their faith brought them together.
Together. They exchanged phone numbers and had numerous calls about spirituality. Eventually, the two became close, and their hunger for spiritual enlightenment grew deeper and deeper, which I think that makes sense. A lot of people who are very spiritual.
They always say church is community.
And religious. They seem to really gravitate towards each other.
Yeah, I'm not religious at all. Yeah. I'm very, very, very secular and was brought up very, very secular, mm-hmm. but I understand, like, I would get like, oh my God, it's like that. Relating to something. Yeah, it's a sense of belonging.
Yeah, for sure. An author named Michael Fleeman, who wrote a book about the case called, quote, Better Off Dead, told Killer Couples, quote, she thought Jonathan was guiding her on this spiritual journey. She was going to get closer to God. She was going to become a full person because of him. That's what she saw in Jonathan, end quote. Over the next year, Jonathan mentored Sabrina, and her marriage with Rob grew stronger while she pursued her faith.
I worry about when you said in the quote, like, she's going to become a full person because of him. Because you can't become a full person for anyone else but yourself. And you need to say I before you can say I love you. And no faith, no anything, no other entity will ever be able to give you the confidence outside of you, in my opinion.
Moral of the story, if we ever had one, right there.
That's right. That's right. And anything my mom says.
Yeah, totally.
This is very different from, a lot of people believe in God and that, you mm-hmm. know, they could become a full person by worshiping God or whatever.
Right.
But to say him,
for him,
he's a human being you barely know.
It sounds a little culty. You know what I mean? Like that's my problem. But around 7 p.m. on August 17th, 2014, just 2 days before Rob and Sabrina's 14th wedding anniversary, a worker found him laying on the floor at the rail yard where he worked.
Oh, wow.
It was clear to emergency responders that Rob had been shot. Ooh. A reporter told Killer Couples, quote, Rob Limone had been shot twice at close range. One of the shots was in his chest and the other was in his face near his chin.
Wow.
Close range, like, you know, we can always see, like, the burn marks.
Yeah.
A sheriff's detective was the first to investigate the scene, and he couldn't find any shell casings. He said, that tells me that either the person picked them up, which is possible, which we see, mm-hmm. or it was a revolver used to commit the murder. Most of the time, suspects don't have time to pick up shell casings. Totally
true. Yeah.
Yes, you'd think, unless it was kind of planned out and so no one was there. Certainly during a robbery or something like that, mm-hmm. people wouldn't pick up shell casings.
Yeah, it also says, like, they know that they don't want to get caught, right? Like,
right.
There's maybe not a defense thing here.
He spoke with the witness that found Rob and learned that he was very well-liked in the community, but this murder scene looked like an assassination. Perhaps it wasn't a planned murder. The detective said, quote, walking around, taking a look into the office, there were several drawers open, files strewn about, and stuff out of place. And we did find that there was a missing laptop computer, end quote. Okay, so this could be a robbery. This could mm-hmm. be phishing for something.
Yep.
But Rob still had his wallet and cell phone, and it was full of frantic messages from Sabrina.
Mm.
Having his wallet makes me think it's not a robbery.
Right.
It seemed like the murder must have happened between roughly 3 and 6:30 p.m. is what they're guessing. Another clue was found outside the garage. Some footprints in the dirt. The detective called Sabrina around 1:30 a.m. and broke the news to her. She was utterly devastated. Mm-hmm. He also asked her if he had any enemies. Rob's sister said, quote, nobody disliked Robert. Totally the opposite. He was a big teddy bear. I mean, there was not a mean bone in his body, end quote. And I know that the way he looked, having a shaved head, having a tattoo in the back of his head, a lot of times, like, you know, those like big bouncers and security guards are just like, oh my God, they're going to fuck you up, are the nicest, sweetest teddy bears in the world.
They really are, yes.
So I could see that.
Like, yeah, totally.
You know, don't judge a book by its cover.
Mm-hmm.
How did a man with 13 alibi witnesses get convicted of murder?
I still don't understand what I'm doing in prison.
A new Dateline original podcast series, 13 Alibis. Listen now on Apple Podcasts.
Police asked Sabrina to walk them through the hours before Rob's death. She said the last time she'd seen him was Sunday morning at home with the kids when he was unexpectedly called into work.
Oh, I was just going to say, I know some friends that work on a railroad.
Sometimes whatever, it happens.
And this happens pretty often. A lot of them are on call. They never know exactly when they're going to be getting called into work. That's a typical thing.
That wasn't abnormal.
Exactly.
She said they kept in touch until early afternoon when he went MIA. And as the evening went on, she grew more alarmed, I'm sure. As detectives chewed through all this information, the thing that stood out the most was the fact that Rob wasn't supposed to be working that day. In fact, he called to fill in for a rapid responder shift last minute.
Okay.
Okay, so could the shooter have meant to kill the original shift employee and
wondering.
It just gets mixed up?
Yeah.
The author, Fleeman, told Killer Couples, quote, "The man who Rob was filling in for had gotten into an argument in a bar, and police thought, well, I wonder if it's a question of mistaken identity that somebody tracked him down." End quote.
Sounds plausible.
It's entirely. While they're doing this, the railroad company came forward with the best clue yet.
Oh.
Video surveillance of the scene. So that's so key.
Mm-hmm.
It showed an older, bulky figure with a limp walk to the scene and then leaving shortly after the presumed time of the murder, carrying some sort of package. It was a great lead, but we didn't show who the man was, what was in the package,
well,
nothing
like
that.
This is one of the things that annoys me about video surveillance. It's like we're in 2019. If we can't, like, get a good look at who these people are or, like, what's going on in a surveillance scenario, what is the point of even having them? It's so often I see, especially in, like, local news, like, video surveillance of this guy that punched an elderly woman, but, like, you can't even see his
right.
face.
And
so
it looks like radio in the 1800s.
Yeah, exactly. Like it was filmed on a calculator. It's
yeah,
like, guys,
right.
let's go. It's 2019.
Or a lot of places, I learned this in The Wire, a lot of places will just like rewind their tapes. And so like their video surveillance will only be good for like a day or
yeah,
a week,
right.
like
That's
in bodegas, because they're not going to like keep to store all the footage.
Right.
So one of those tips show the man is a local transient and his shoes matched the prints left at the scene.
Mm-hmm.
The limp, he had been hit by a car earlier that day and had an alibi that he had been to the hospital. So what about the shoe prints and why did they match? Surely he was there, right? I mean, if they're matching. But that was just the way he walked to his makeshift home. It was pretty clear to the cops that he didn't do it.
Okay.
But another surveillance video nearby did capture a motorcyclist driving up and down the street before the murder. I mean, talk about like you're on a fucking motorcycle, you're gonna drive up and down the street. Like
suspicious.
Jesus.
And yet
another tip came in from a gunsmith who reported someone trying to have the firing pin of a large caliber revolver replaced despite not needing it. And remember, if it's a revolver, you don't need shell casings.
Got it. And I don't really know what a firing pin is. I'm assuming that is there some sort of ballistic like fingerprint that a firing pin leaves?
I actually did look it up and it's kind of confusing, but it's basically the pin, when you press the trigger,
the
pin hits something and it sort of
fires
the
shot.
The whole firing.
It's the catalyst of which it can
yeah,
fire.
It's, like, it's the first thing that hits something. I don't fucking know.
I'm assuming, though, it like can be identified. Otherwise, why would he be trying to potentially
replace it?
Yeah.
Well, police rushed to interview this guy, obviously, and seize the gun, but he had an alibi and weapons ballistics didn't match.
Uh-huh. So 1 week after Rob's funeral, police received a crucial tip.
Oh, I love this.
A friend of Rob's named Jason told detectives he thought he knew who committed the murder based on some disturbing calls and texts he had received. They came from a man named Jonathan Hearn and started a year earlier when Jonathan showed up to a party Rob and Sabrina were hosting.
Okay.
So that night, Sabrina introduced Jonathan as her Bible study partner. A couple months later...
Ow!
Yeah, watch out. A couple months later, he got a call from Jonathan asking for Rob's number, saying he needed to talk to him. The author told Killer Couples, quote, "It just so happened that Robert was there with Jason. Jason hands the phone to Robert and Jason doesn't hear the phone conversation, but Robert looks concerned. He looks intense," end quote.
Hmm.
So lots of things building here. Jonathan came clean and told Rob he had been having an affair with his wife. Rob had seen suspicious texts to Sabrina, but she had reassured him that it was nothing. It turns out you should definitely go with your gut when things like that are happening.
Usually you should.
Yeah. Well, Rob assumed if Jonathan called to apologize, it must truly be over. But 10 months later, Jason's wife spots Sabrina and Jonathan hanging out together at Sabrina's work. So livid, Jason confronted Jonathan. The author described the situation saying, quote, "Jason says, look, this is my best friend's wife. Stay away from her," end quote. Which makes sense. I mean, if you're in that scenario, that's probably what you would want to say. And that seemed to do the job. The author Fleeman said that just a few days after the murder, quote, "Jason gets this weird voicemail from Jonathan. Oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I overstepped my bounds. I feel terrible." It was a kind of rambling, emotional, bizarre voicemail. End
I
quote.
Have to say that's...
So it's from Matt?
Yeah, sounds like it.
This, you know, the author describing... I just wonder if he was paraphrasing Jason. Because you know, he says, look, this is my best friend's wife. So stay away from her. I'm picturing him saying, like, I'm gonna fucking kill you if you don't.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, don't fucking
wife
right,
again,
exactly.
Blah, 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 which would make sense that. He didn't have that reaction of,
yes.
Sorry.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Maybe he was a little more like trembling, if you will.
Yeah.
That's just my hunch.
Yeah, that's a good hunch, Matt. So naturally, the cops turn their attention to Jonathan. A reporter said, quote, detectives find that he owns a motorcycle that looks very similar to the motorcycle depicted in some surveillance video that they have, end quote.
Which to me is a motorcycle, because that I don't know the fucking difference to.
That's true. I wouldn't either. They also subpoenaed his phone records and saw a lot of activity between late 2013 and early 2014, and then it stopped. But just as it stopped, a new unregistered number began calling his phone, basically a burner.
Right.
With a wiretap came detailed private calls between he and Sabrina. The detective in the case said, quote, they were having conversations about family, about their future together, about raising the children. They had conversations basically about starting this life together and about Rob being replaced, end quote. And Darren, it was a hot and steamy Jesus, in a Jesus kind of way.
I thought you were going to be like, New Orleans, crime con. And I was like, yes,
listen,
it was.
It was hot and steamy. So here's a couple of sentences captured from their wires. If it's all right with you, Darren, I'll be Jonathan and
Fine.
You can be Sabrina.
Fine.
God is leading and guiding and directing your life.
Yeah, he is. He truly is. And I feel that. So I'm going to be obedient to him and just glorify him. Emphasis my own.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
End scene.
Thank
We've
you.
Never done
Did
thank
I
you,
sound
Matt.
Pious? Did I sound like, thank you?
Well,
you couldn't sound like that if you tried.
I know.
That's why I was like, I'm not even going to pretend to sound religious because it's not.
Acting.
Yeah, thank you.
It's good acting. Mm-hmm. But there's no talk of murder, you know, in that scenario. So cops decided to stir the pot a touch. The detective said, quote, we call it stimulating the wire. We were trying to get them a little paranoid about it and trip them up. Have them make some mistakes.
That's smart.
End quote. Okay. It's interesting that they can do that. So the detective called Sabrina and told her that they had good news, that they found a DNA sample. Immediately, Sabrina called Jonathan to tell him the news. And that's when Jonathan's biblical knowledge helped out the case. Wow, I'm like really tripping up here.
God is guiding and directing
God is guiding
your life,
me through my
John.
Words here. He told Sabrina, quote, David is a lot like you and I, Sabrina. He is a regular guy, but he loves God. And so many Psalms were written by David, and he was someone who committed adultery, who had an affair, and then he even went on to kill the guy, like sent him into battle and pretty much had him killed off to cover his sin. And so he went way out of his way to cover his sin, end quote.
I think Jonathan is stimulating Sabrina's wire.
That, listen.
Like to see if she'll say, oh.
No.
I was thinking.
Oh my God, you're both slow.
I picked up on it. No, I know what he's trying
to
do.
I was, but then I was like, when you guys bring religion into sex, I get very uncomfortable.
Fair enough.
Very uncomfortable.
So it was the strongest evidence yet, and it was enough to arrest Jonathan.
I mean, it's enough to arrest, but at the same time, because of like the biblical stimulations of the wires.
That Matt's referring to.
That Matt is referring to. I mean. Okay, like, he had an affair, then even went on to kill the guy, like, sent him into battle and pretty much had him killed off to cover his sin.
Yeah.
He's not admitting that that's what he did.
Well, that's true, yeah.
But it's interesting that I guess it's enough for, like, motive.
I was going to say, and it's very clear that he knows something, at least.
Well, Jonathan lawyered up, and Sabrina actually wanted to talk. A reporter said, quote, she completely, 100% not only denies knowing anything, she says there's no way that Jonathan could possibly be responsible, and yet she seems to know nothing.
Right, right.
I just, like, find that fascinating. I know absolutely nothing about the case except that this person didn't do it. The search warrant of her house didn't reveal anything, but her being the recipient of a life insurance policy. But a search of Jonathan's property revealed a helmet, red scarf, and glove that matched the video surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
It's something, but it's a thin case, and the judge decided it wasn't enough against Sabrina.
Wow.
They were going to have to let her go when they got help from an unexpected place. Mm-hmm. Jonathan himself. He approached the DA with a plea deal and started talking. According to Jonathan, Sabrina was a willing participant in the murder, but there was another motive to the act. The author said, quote, Robert Limone...
Lyman
had pressured Sabrina into a swinging lifestyle, had pressured her into having sex with other men.
Mm-hmm.
So now the plot thickens.
Yeah, definitely.
Because if that's true, this is bad.
Yeah.
Sabrina felt degraded and didn't want to continue that lifestyle. And along came her religious mentor, Jonathan, with a way to fix it. Get rid of Rob and live a normal life happily ever after. I mean,
that's what God wants.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that like, before I go on, isn't that like kind of like, granted, you're in a really shitty situation, right? And then this religious person comes in and they want to help you and everything seems like it can go well. But their first thing is like, oh, just kill the guy.
I mean, it's just the
hypocrisy. Is there no morals? Are there
the
no morals?
The hypocrisy.
Right.
This, being all under the guise of religion when they're having an affair and talking about killing someone.
Well, it's another example of people who feel trapped and thinking the only way they can get out of their situation is by murdering someone.
Right, and then justifying it through their faith.
Yeah, right.
According to the Toronto Sun, quote, Sabrina told detectives that in 2008, they opened up their marriage and began swapping sexual partners and going to orgies with other couples in their quiet neighborhood.
Mm. What goes on in suburban America?
What goes on in quiet neighborhoods?
We aren't sex-shaming.
Our lives are very boring here.
Speak for yourself, Matt. I mean...
Spring to sprung, or whatever, for John a couple weeks ago.
Oh my God. Okay. What I'm saying is we're not sex shaming anybody.
No.
But
John said his wires stimulated more than once or twice.
But based on these details we know in this case, you know, it's a little interesting.
I'm all about that swinging lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to move off of this if you can't tell.
But here's the thing. Was it true? Right?
That's true.
Had Rob forced Sabrina into being a swinger? Mm-hmm. Either way, she'd given Jonathan the information he needed to murder Rob at work. Mm-hmm. The detective said, quote, she helped him plan. She gave him dates and times where Rob would be at or when he would go to work, end quote. Jonathan's testimony was damaging, and according to People.com, he, quote, agreed to testify against Sabrina in exchange for a prison term of 25 years and 4 months.
Wow.
Not sure why 25 years and 4 months, but, you know, God told him to kill him. God told him to do Sabrina. God told him to fucking sell out Sabrina so he could get 25 years and 4 months. God told you to do it. Jonathan confessed to riding over there on his motorcycle and shooting Rob twice, point blank, with his .45 revolver. Mm. Bakersfield.com wrote that he, quote, testified Sabrina Limone persuaded him her husband needed to die so that they could marry and raise her children as godly parents. This is my problem. Mm-hmm. This is my problem. This is why religion, like, really, really bothers me in this type of way.
When you do things like this in the
name
of a religion.
And you blame it, and then you're like, well, no, God told me to do it. Like, you don't get to have your cake and eat it, too. If religion teaches you to be a good person, then be a fucking good person. Don't murder.
Listen.
Sorry.
Listen up. Darren's got a thought.
Yeah, and
if my wires need to be stimulated.
And if you're not being a good person, then say, I fucked up.
Right,
and
I'm a shitty person.
And this is what I did, and I'm, you know.
Right, and it's not because God didn't want me to do it. It's because you wanted to do it because you're an asshole.
Oh, fair enough.
But according to his testimony, it wasn't the first time they had planned to kill Rob.
Oh, my God.
From Bakersfield.com, again, another quote. Here we go. Another aspect of the trial that captured a lot of attention was Hearn's testimony that he and Limone first attempted to poison her husband with arsenic-laced banana pudding.
Oh, my God. I love banana pudding.
Don't mess with me.
There's a Magnolia Bakery
near the banana pudding where we work.
It's unreal.
Continuing the quote,
yes.
He said he ordered arsenic online and sprinkled it into pudding. He then gave the pudding to Sabrina Limone to place in her husband's lunch.
By the way, if you're ordering arsenic online, like, maybe that should set off some red flags somewhere to people.
Well, here's the thing. They aborted the plan because they were fearful of being caught. Maybe you should have, like, trusted your gut there and not killed someone. According to the station KCAL, Jonathan testified, quote, it was inevitable that Rob needed to die for Sabrina and I to move forward with our relationship, end quote. It's inevitable. That's inevitable. With Jonathan's confession, the prosecution had a strong case against Sabrina. Not only that, but they had the wiretap to back his story up. Still, Sabrina denied it all. She claimed he was a liar and that they never confessed on the wiretap. Usually that's really risky because when you claim that you never said anything on a wiretap.
Yeah.
Well, they, like, play it back.
Well, right.
You're kind of fucked.
They kind of have your voice.
Yeah,
right,
they kind of do. That's how they know you said it.
It's also interesting that Jonathan, in that last quote, was just like, he had to die for Sabrina and I to move forward. He didn't say for us to be godly parents or the children to be, you know.
Yeah, totally.
So it's all about himself. But, like, him saying that, if he's so with Sabrina and wanted to protect her, then why is he, like, throwing her under the bus and taking the plea deal?
Well, none of it makes sense. No.
None of it makes sense.
Well, her lawyers ended up putting her on the stand, which was obviously a risky strategy. She claimed that Jonathan manipulated her and she didn't know he was going to kill Rob. She testified that, quote, Jonathan controlled me through carrying his Bible with him everywhere that he went and using that to guilt me, end quote, according to Killer Couples.
There is something about, like, someone carrying around a Bible or, you know, the monks that kind of, that, and listen, my uncle is a monk.
Your uncle. Yeah, we talked about it.
There is something that's like, oh, I can't be rude to you. Like,
that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, it's that defense where it's like, you feel like a good person to me. but, because you're carrying a fucking Bible, but that Bible's hold out and probably has a gun in it. I'm just saying,
you never know,
but there is like definitely a psychological thing with that.
I agree. Yeah. However, people reported that, quote, jurors heard her admit to the affair with Hearn, which she said began after she and her husband had decided to engage in sex with other couples, end quote. Rob's sister said, quote, it seemed that her only answer was that it was just an affair. People have affairs all the time. It's not a reason to commit murder. I wanted to know her answer for her actions, end quote. So that's Rob's sister saying this.
Right. It's not a reason to commit murder. And none of it makes sense.
Well, Sabrina was convicted of first-degree murder, according to People magazine. She was 37 years old when she was convicted and was sentenced to 25 years to life, according to a local ABC affiliate. A reporter said, quote, a juror later told me that they just didn't feel that Sabrina was as genuine as Jonathan, end quote. Jonathan received 25 years per his plea deal. Before being led away, Jonathan was given the opportunity to address the court.
Oh, here we go.
He said, quote, I offer you my brokenhearted and genuine apology to Robert's family and his dear friends. I'm so sorry, end quote.
How do you take that? Like, what's your, and Matt, like, what do you guys think? Like, for me, if someone had said that and I was part of his family and he's like literally throwing the book at them and just giving every single excuse and him saying I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Like, for me, that makes me want to like punch his guts out.
Of course.
Like, that makes me want to just throw up every middle finger I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a lot of them.
Yeah. You do.
And just like, tell him to fuck off. I know that sounds so immature, but like that's the feeling that I got when you quoted that.
And you're entitled to your feelings.
Yeah.
For me, on the one hand, he's not saying this because it's going to get him anything.
That's true.
Because he's already been
convicted, sentenced.
Yes, he's had a sentence. But at the same time, I would just be like, well, that a lot of good that fucking does me. I mean, that it's just meaningless to me. It would be, I think.
Right.
Just
and, if God were so great, why did he make you commit something that now you're really sorry for?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well,
it was right at the beginning.
Would you be sorry if you had never been caught?
Exactly.
That's true.
Coming to me and apologizing if you had never been caught?
Right. Like if your Amazon order of arsenic, you know. It's just like ridiculous. I hate that so much.
Well, it was an emotional apology so much so that Rob's sister said, quote, people probably think this sounds crazy, but I would have let the man walk out of the doors on the day that he was sentenced because I truly feel without him, we wouldn't have her and she is the mastermind behind it, end quote. So that's one perspective.
I mean, that's from Rob's sister.
I mean,
and granted, maybe that's the case. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard to say, you know, because I can only judge Jonathan with his quotes and
what he's
saying, but like we don't know the kind of image that Sabrina was giving off.
That's
either.
True.
To me, that says that Rob's sister just hates his wife so much more because they were married.
Yeah.
You know,
she probably knows more about
it. Kids together.
Yeah.
Like, how could the wife do that?
Yeah,
like,
right.
She doesn't give a fuck about this other guy.
Right.
Right. Jonathan didn't. I mean, not that that's a reason to commit murder, but Jonathan didn't owe Rob anything, but Sabrina fucking did.
Right.
Right.
Sure. Jonathan is incarcerated at Ironwood State Prison in Blythe, California. He's eligible for parole in 2028, which
isn't
far away.
Yeah.
Sabrina is serving her sentence at Central California Women's Facility. She's eligible in 2037. Rob and Sabrina's children are in custody of Sabrina's sister. After Rob was murdered, Sabrina had written on Facebook, quote, Robert showed his love, compassion, hardworking skills, and genuine kindness to everyone he met. I will never let Rob's love die or fade out. I will carry it with me wherever I go and remind our I sound like I'm getting emotional. I was choking, sorry. And remind our children of it daily as they grow, end quote. So
that rhymed.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, that
it
felt
did.
Like very appropriate for the rhyming at the end. Just
dropped all your papers. What a tragic story. That's kind of actually way more complicated than it seemed at the outset.
I got really riled up this case.
Yeah, you did.
But I just like, I get very frustrated because like someone died.
Yeah.
And people who don't own up to their shit.
Yeah.
I just like, I
that's
can't
true.
Handle that.
You don't
and like
it.
And it's completely hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like none of it makes sense and someone had to senselessly die for this. It's like, ugh.
Listen, don't get your wires crossed with Darren, guys, if you're listening.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Know
don't
what I'm saying?
Don't cross your wires.
Well, tell us what you think about this episode using hashtag martinis and murder on social media and be sure to tag us Jay Thrasher, Carpe Darren, Matt the Bartender on Instagram, Matt_the_bartender.
Yes.
Should we get to listener shout outs now?
I think we should.
Did you get your papers together?
I got them together.
Well, I just wanted to give a shout out to a fan we met at CrimeCon, actually. Her name is Nicole. And connecting to our drink from Australia, this whiskey or whatever we're drinking, Nicole came all the way from Australia.
She was at the bar.
Yes.
Yes.
To go to CrimeCon and to meet us. And she was such a sweet person. So, Nicole, if you're listening, we hope that you got home safe down under.
You were so lovely. I didn't even know she was there for our meetup.
Me either.
I was standing next to her at the bar.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of started talking.
Yeah.
And I had like no idea that she was like a fan
at
all.
Well, then she started referencing things from the show. And I was like, oh, you really are like a fan of the show. Like,
I had no idea. We were just chatting.
Yeah.
We should also give a special shout out. This is the second one because we did it on another shot. Because it's worth it. To Erin, who was at our CrimeCon live show. She played the game. Unfortunately, didn't win. So we told her that the runner-up prize was a shout out on this week's episode.
There you have it.
And we had a very lovely conversation, Erin, if you remember, about Jan Broberg.
Oh, that's right.
At the meetup. And like...
Yeah.
What did you? I felt like I stated my case.
There were just, you know, listen, the great thing about.
It was a good conversation.
The great thing about CrimeCon and especially about true crime is everyone has an opinion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you guys shared your opinions.
But it wasn't. It was
respectful and fun.
Totally fun. It was nice. So thank you for that conversation. And thank you guys so much for listening. This case really, really riled me up.
Yes.
And I'm going to have to go have another martini now.
Well, I'm technically, when you're listening to this, in London. So I've got to go have high tea now. So I'll see you next time.
Brilliant.
See you guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.